So you don't think that I know what true witchery is just because I do what I do? There's not a witch in the world who hasn't laughed at Mommy Fortuna and her homemade horrors, but not another who would have dared.
I can confidently say I do not know this, and even though you gave me so many clues, I have no idea who this is, so I'm excited to learn.
Okay, Rob, this isn't fair because I know you don't know the movie. It is The Last Unicorn, and it just reminded me there, because I recently did it on the show that we also do together, and it reminded me that this character is indeed a witch as well, and I knew it hadn't been used, so I'm so excited to bring this witch to you today.
Okay, so the name of the witch, and what does she do?
Her name is Mommy Fortuna. I love that, like, kind of gypsy-esque name. And she is from, like I said, The Last Unicorn from 1982. She's voiced by Angela Lansbury.
Oh, nice.
And she brings, like, this... Ugh, I just love her. She's an older, crotchety-looking, like, crusty witch, but she has the power to glamour, I'll use that charmed word, glamour older animals into people believing that they are mythical creatures.
Okay.
So that's one of her things. She runs this carnival called the Midnight Carnival, and she has, like, general witchy powers, like putting people to sleep, but... The truth always melts her magic because it's not strong because she's older.
Interesting. Now, I know that there are some Last Unicorn fans out there who have seen this and probably recognize your quote, but you recently reviewed this. So tell everyone where they can hear an actual review of this Last Unicorn movie.
Well, thank you. You can listen to the Radical Retro Rewind podcast, where Rob is one of the revolving co-hosts. So if you don't have enough of hearing us here, you could go there too. Yeah, that sold them, right?
Charmies, notice how that tone changed when he said his show's name. He's clearly done this before. You just went right into sales mode when you did that. That was amazing.
I'm just so nervous. Always to get it out because of all the R's. I'm always like, rah, 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 rah.
Yeah, Radical Retro Rewind with Ryan and Rob.
Yeah, could you have gotten any more R's?
I know. Welcome, Charmies, to another episode of Brunch with the Hollowells. We are doing Season 6, Episode 8, Sword and the City. You know what's funny about this title? I continuously go back and forth with this title, as well as sort of the wordplay of where it's referencing, which is Sex in the City. But I swear to you, to this day, I will always have to think twice. Is it Sex in the City or Sex and the City? And I swear to you, I bet you some of you right now thought it was Sex in the City, and it's not. It's And the City. So this title 1,000%. Helps me remember the name of it. Before we get into it, I want to ask you, Ryan, which Sex in the City girl are you?
Okay, so only because I've been told I am a Charlotte. Did I get that right?
You did get that right. Yes. He had to ask because everybody keeps telling him who he is, and I think he agrees with the definition, and I have a feeling that people who know you, that's where you are.
Actually, you know what? The friend that I was telling you about earlier who was obsessed with the show back in the day, I didn't have HBO people, I'm sorry. I know of the whole everything about it and the whole cultural phenomenon, but yeah, he told me that too, so I guess that since high school I've been the same.
That's fair, that is fair. And so for me, I watched the whole thing in a very weird order. I am Miranda 100% out of the four women. I don't know how much of Miranda I am, but that is the closest that I can come to. And I'm completely fine with that because I know that she kind of gets a bad rap versus the other three women. But I really
She has her fans, though, because I've heard people talking about the show over the years, and she definitely does have her fans.
Well, there you have it. We have Miranda and Charlotte hosting Brunch with the Hollowells today. Let's get to our episode. So the original air date was November 9th, 2003, written by David Samkins and directed by Derek Johansson. Guest stars include Balthazar Getty back as Richard Montana. We have Mark Aiken as the Dark Knight, with Danny Woodburn back as our dwarf.
I Your love friend him. That you saw in person.
I love him. He's so cool.
Paige and Richard just had spent the night together and are waking, and are walking into the kitchen, talking about breakfast items, when they trip over Piper. Piper is trying to fix the garbage disposal, and Richard, in an attempt to dispel the awkwardness, fixes it using magic. Piper seems stressed, as usual, and she's busy fixing all the broken things in the house. Piper seems also a little concerned that Richard has started using magic again. Phoebe then walks into the kitchen, dressed up, and asks to talk to Piper alone. She expresses concern over Richard using magic, as the last time he did, he lost control and is worried about how little Paige knows about Richard. However, Piper warns her not to meddle. Rob, so we have the return of the famous men's button-down shirt.
She had one on, didn't she?
She had Richard's shirt, which, okay, so the last time we discussed this, it was the white lighter, Chris's charge.
Natalie, yeah, Chris's Natalie, yes.
Paige is in the manor. Paige is in her bedroom. She did not want to put on, she didn't have to put on Richard's shirt. So this is either A, like her moment of just being like a girly, like, I like to do this when I sleep with somebody, kind of like show it off kind of thing. Damn, she could have put on a sweatshirt from her closet.
This is what's funny. I feel like I would be that person who like goes out and buys like a large button down shirt so I can just have one in the closet and wear it after I've had sex.
Please like, do.
I'm gonna put on my I just had sex shirt on.
But are you gonna wear jeans or something underneath it? Or are you gonna do full on, I'm walking around covering my legs up to a certain point?
It would probably just be the shirt. It would just be the shirt. But here's my thing. Okay, let's say the shirt's Richard's, right? Why did he come downstairs in sweats and in house shoes? So I have a feeling that this was a straight up booty call and he came over in his pajamas with house shoes. He got in his car, did not hesitate, and slept over.
Because I love that he brought his slippers.
Seriously, he was wearing slippers. I don't know if they were Paige's because I'm not saying that those slippers were only for men, but he was dressed to kill for somebody who doesn't live there. So explain that. When did he actually come over? I swear it was a booty
Okay,
call.
That or he brought an overnight bag with his pajamas and slippers. He's that comfortable.
He's that kind of
And
I get
she
it.
Says, I'm putting on the shirt. Forget it, Richard. It's on the floor or somewhere. And I'm putting it on. Oh, so the only thing is, when do you think Richard started using magic again? Was it after the whole family leaving and the, you know, the ghost being vanquished or set moved on?
I would say sometime around the time he was helping Paige with her mission with Larry. I mean, magic clearly needs to be used, so it probably just being around her could have triggered it somehow. Because I don't think that was the first time. Ryan, would you be able to have magical powers and not use them? Like, could you honestly just go through life knowing that you can accomplish great things and like not use them? I couldn't do it. You know, I would hope I wouldn't get addicted to using magic like some of the characters do on this show, but it's like, how can you just not use magic anymore?
And what's the extent of personal gain? So if we could use magic in subtle ways, like if I could just, oh my God, if you have a stomach ache, this is how I would use my magic. This is how like least like bad I would be. Like I would use it to orb home if I had a stomach ache and had to use the bath. Like I would do it for like life things. I would be very tempted to do it to that. And I would say, is that really personal gain, elders? Like I had stomach issues, so let me orb home. Let me use my damn magic for something.
I mean, if I'm late somewhere, teleportation would be amazing. You know, little things like that. But I would really have a hard problem not using my gift. That's just me. So hopefully I'm not one of those people that gets corrupted with magic powers. I would think that I would be very responsible with gifts, but, you know. So a couple of questions for you, because you have siblings. These sisters are not subtle at all about how they feel about Richard. They hear one thing and they're just like, oh, you're here. I mean, and Richard even knows better. He's just like, these women clearly do not like me. Do your brothers happen to meddle in your life or vice versa?
Ooh. Vice versa. And by the way, I would be the Paige or the Phoebe because I am the youngest. So yes, I do have two older brothers, so this is kind of cool. I have to say, there have been exes that I did not like, but I, on my hand, I wouldn't so much as say it, and I wouldn't make the person feel awkward, because I'm not about anyone feeling awkward unless they deserve to feel it. I don't know. Yes, I know my older brothers have definitely told me about men over the years and okay. What they didn't like.
Okay, so my other question was that Paige continuously kept trying to feed Richard eggs. How do you like your eggs? How do you like them? How do you eat your eggs, Ryan?
Ooh, I love scrambled eggs.
Yeah, what about you, Rob? Scrambled,
I know you're a breakfast man.
Scrambled with cheese.
Oh, okay. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. What kind of cheese? That's also a question.
I either do Swiss or American. But I'm open to others. It's one of the two that ends up on my eggs, though.
Swiss, too. Swiss.
Yeah. What's funny is that I've seen people eat eggs with ketchup. I can't have it, like...
touching?
Well, I can't have it, like, poured over the eggs. I don't mind dipping them in ketchup. But if it's over it, I don't know. For some reason, it just feels gross. And that's a weird thing. I don't know where that comes from. The only other thing that I had before we move on, and I'm actually posting this on Instagram as a poll. Phoebe and Jason are getting ready to do a video conference date. She wants to know which earrings works best with her outfit. If you remember what they looked like, I chose the shorter, darker ones.
Yes, 100%. The other ones were too much. Especially for 9 o'clock in the morning or whatever time that was, 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. No, I like the dark earrings better. So yeah, you'll see this on Instagram stories. Definitely vote in the poll. I would love to hear
what everybody thought. That's so fun. Yes. Yes, I would love to see that.
Piper is trying to unclog a sink when a woman's face appears above the water asking for help. Piper, you are my only hope.
I wish, basically.
The sisters orb to a pond, and a woman emerges, bearing a large sword. Several demons appear, and one throws a knife, hitting the woman in the back. That is so ruthless. Terrible. I thought that was the most messed up kill. Like, that, I don't know why, it just looked horrible. The sisters fight off the demons and find the sword embedded in a large stone. Paige believes the sword is Excalibur, from the legend of King Arthur, but Piper, of course, is skeptical, even though she's dealt with every single fairy tale, mythical creature in the land. I don't get it. We cue the credits, and our title comes on. Ryan, I actually liked the effect of the woman coming out of the lake, the way she kind of floated. It felt very Afraid of the Dark. I don't know why. But her transparent sort of look as she floated, I don't know, I just liked that shot. It just looked cool.
And I loved it even more, and I don't know why this tickles me so much, Rob, but when she actually got out of the lake, and she's, like, holding the sword, and the way she's just, like, running with the sword outstretched in her hand, it looks so awkward with the knife in her back, like you were saying. But what a great idea that she appeared to them. I love that she's in water form. When she died, she turned to water.
Yeah.
But, Rob, what the hell was in the sink in the manor? Like, what was that brown liquid
It's just clogged up dirt, other messy food things. I don't think they have a disposal. I don't know. Yeah. There was a lot of Fruit Loops. I saw that.
Oh
yeah.
I have a thing with that because I used to have an apartment where, like, the shower would back up with every kind of colored and brown and everything. So this brings me back. The battle, Rob. Did you love Phoebe and Paige gearing up for battle? Like, they left Piper. They knew that those demons were coming. And they just, like, badasses took them on.
That was really good. I do love the Paige calling for the axe and immediately striking him with it.
Yes!
I thought that was great. It was wonderful choreography, especially for her to already be in that sort of stance to where she's holding the knife, even though she just called it, or the axe. Yeah, no, it was great.
Oh, so good, so good. And they just threw them axes down. Why not demon leftover? We know they have that box in the attic from a few episodes ago.
Yeah, children will see them and they'll pick them up and play with them. Yeah, it'll be all good.
Phoebe checks the Book of Shadows and can't find nothing on the sword, but finds a page on the Executor demons. Minions of low order, demonic mercenaries, incapable of original thoughts or deeds. Wow. Usually found in the employee of higher level demons or mortals. Proficient in dark arts, vanquishable with their own weapons or spectrum of Valerium potions.
And the page on Dark Knights in the Book of Shadows says, a power-mad paladin of destruction. Avoid him at all costs. If impossible, approach him with extreme caution. His strongest defense is his death's head shield.
Phoebe continues to be suspicious and awkward, majorly awkward, around Richard. Refusing to discuss the demon with him around, Phoebe goes for her Skype date with Jason, and Paige goes to her new temporary job, leaving Piper to deal with the problems. Paige tries to pull the sword from the stone, but can't. The Dark Knight threatens a mercenary demon, who tells him that the Charmed One's attacked. He wants a seat at the table as his price for hiring more assassins to take out the Charmed Ones. A large round table with a pentagram stands nearby. It seems that the Dark Knight's plan is to unite all evil under the corrupted power of the sword. So, Rob, the sisters obviously don't like Richard.
They don't. And here's the thing. Granted that Richard knows who the Charmed Ones are and the fact that they have magic and, you know, it's okay, you can talk business with him. He's not part of the gang. He's not. And I don't know why all of a sudden he is in on all of these missions. It's just a weird thing for me. You know, I'm just not. It's a little weird.
He's not the Tara to the Willow that they just kind of bring in.
I know. Well, especially when they already have a White Lighter who we find out later is assigned to different cases at the moment. But it's just like, why, Richard, why are you there? Just be her man. Like, you don't have to be. I mean, he just loves sticking around, too. Like, don't you have something else going on in your life? It's just a little weird.
He's just got that big-ass house. He's got no one to talk to.
I guess so. But yeah, I mean, I, at this point, don't hate Richard, but I'm not there. Maybe I would feel a different way if, like, an unwanted guest just continued to hang around. I didn't really find him annoying. But he's just around.
No.
I think the sisters are just really used to their specific sanctuary and the routine that they've gone. And this is obviously a change.
But it's so weird that she... Okay, so this is the same morning, evidently, from their booty call with his slippers and his bag. I mean, I could see him lingering for a little after that because they were going to have breakfast. But yeah, I guess it's a weird thing. But I see it almost like he was trying to help the sisters.
Yes,
I mean,
definitely.
And I think Phoebe's whole thing is just a little too much too quickly. She made it way obvious that she's, like, it was super awkward. If I was in that situation, if I put myself in Richard's shoes, I think I would feel, like, super, super, I might, yeah, maybe I would just be like, oh, maybe I should leave.
Yeah, no, I mean, if I noticed that kind of stuff, I would have kept my distance from this house. I honestly don't need to be around 24/7 or just in the moment of, you know, like, I need to go. But I do love Paige's look at Piper, or I think it was Phoebe, when she walks Richard to the door. I love that look of her. She's just like, woman, I swear to God, keep up with those looks now.
Paige is like, I have a man finally, possibly. Let me have this for once. Give me something.
So Phoebe is swamped in work and unable to keep track of her column and her appointments. Paige's new temporary job is as Phoebe's assistant. Phoebe finds it very weird telling Paige what to do. I love this storyline of Paige working for Phoebe. I think it's very sitcom, especially the way that it was revealed. Yes. Could you be a boss to one of your siblings?
Not really. I feel like I get into the Paige role in this place. Like, I would be told what to do. I guess I'm
So when you're working with David on the show, are you saying he wears the pants or are you wearing
Okay, so with the Radical Retro Rewind, I mean, I usually am on the steering wheel, but like our older brother, Michael, like if I go to help him with things around his house or whatever, like he's always like, yeah, telling me where to put things. And not in a mean way, like not in a way, but you know, he likes to, that might be an older brother thing, like a Peru kind of thing. So I have no trouble just saying, like, this has to be done or something like that. Wouldn't mind speaking my mind, but yeah, I'm not really a bossy person.
That's fair. So back at the manor, Piper is trying to fix the washing machine and clean around the house. A dwarf comes in and Piper realizes that a line of magical beings has walked into the manor. See? Do you see what I'm talking about? This is why I don't have no big ass house. Do you see? She didn't even notice that a bunch of beings were in her house. She had no idea. That's crazy. What I'm talking about. I can't with the big house. It's just too much. So one by one, to pull the sword from the stone, they jeer at each other's attempts, and Piper tries to run them off and calls for Chris, but Leo responds instead.
I do love Paige's line to tell Phoebe that it's not any different than you normally do when she tells her she can't tell her what to do. Love that. Love that. The washer's not working today, too. Doesn't this seem like one of the plots they would do to have Piper in the house to get angry over everything going wrong? Like, how is it that everything in their house is not working? Washer, sinks.
It's because Leo moved on and he's not fixing stuff as he normally does.
And I do have this thing, like, now all of a sudden Leo is back to being, okay, I took Chris off your what did he call it? Your case.
Oh, like, yes, your case. Yes, yeah.
What happened? Like, even back in the day, I remember watching this episode. It's like, wait, what? You ended with a beer the last time. Like, I just don't like this inconsistency with Leo and Chris's writing of this arc.
That's actually a really good point. They did end on good terms last week, so it's funny that, but I don't know if it was done out of like treachery or like he needs to, you know, be off so he doesn't like mess with you. I don't know if it was a bad thing, but apparently he has some learning to do when it comes to being a white lighter, so he needs to do something else. He's probably sleeping with them too.
No, you know he's complaining wherever he is. I need to be back doing Wyatt. Finding Wyatt. At the office, Paige is using her looks and flirting with the guys in the office to get them to do her work. Paige begins giving Phoebe advice on her column, talking about one particular question, which is extremely similar to Paige and Richard. Phoebe tells her she's worried that they are moving too fast, upsetting Paige. Just then, Leo orbs in, bringing Phoebe and Paige back to the manor. Finally, Piper gets angry and grabs the sword, and it comes out. The magical creatures gasp and bow. A man calling himself Mondament? How the hell did
Mondament? It's Mordaunt.
And literally just watch this episode. Mordaunt appears in a vortex and tells Piper that she is now the master of Excalibur.
Mordaunt.
Oh my god. God. They're just adding up all of my like mispronunciations. There you go.
I'm calling him Mordaunt for the rest of the episode.
Mordaunt. So, Rob, do you think Paige is moving too quickly, or is she just dating, doing her life?
I mean, they're not like living together. I don't know the timeline from when she, you know, met him on her temporary job, but I mean, they did go a little bit without talking to each other, and then they just ran into each other. I don't see them moving too quickly, but I know that she's not dating anybody else. And I know that she is finding it way too comfortable to talk about family secrets and procedures and stuff. So I don't know. Maybe that's what they're talking about.
I mean, I think on Paige's end, it's almost like she sees him as he was the innocent that they had to save at one point. And maybe she's just thinking like, well, he's just good. What do you mean? But yeah. I mean, I don't think it's too, like you said, she met him last week out of, I guess, weeks or God knows how long. So yeah, it's not like they were constantly in communication. Food for thought. And the only other thing that really stands out to me in these scenes is that Leo orbs into the bay mirror with the door open in Phoebe's office right in front of everybody. The blue orb lights.
Yeah, so the window with the blinds closed, I guess, you know, it wasn't in front of the actual doorway. But yes, a very risky move on her part for sure. I just want to know exactly how Piper expected to get rid of the stone by picking it up from the sword handle. Like, were you just gonna like pick it up like a freaking meatball on a stick? I just love how that's how she was gonna get rid of it. Let me just hold it by the sword, pick it up, and then move it.
Yeah, that's exactly. How did she think, Rob? I don't know.
But she pulled the sword out. That's my luck, too. I'll probably be like the skeptic who like hates everything about this, and then just all of a sudden, oh yeah, I'm the one who holds, you know,
Miranda.
So funny. So Mortimant tells the sisters what he knows of the Dark Knight and suggests a vanquishing potion. He offers to teach Piper the use of Excalibur. Piper is annoyed, saying that she does not have any time and doesn't want this power. Paige is excited, however, urging Piper to take up the power, which has been lost for centuries. Mortimant conjures up a potion recipe to kill the Dark Knight, saying that he is extremely powerful. Leo orbs Wyatt up there to check with the other elders, while Mortimant produces a sword and brings sparring with Piper. So up until this point, it really took me a second, and I wonder if anybody else noticed this while rewatching the episode yourselves, that the Dark Knight and Mortimant looked exactly alike. Like, I honestly thought they were the same person.
Me too. I didn't remember. I thought that was going to be the twist as well. I kept saying, oh, he cut his hair.
Yeah. Like, he was in disguise and, you know, trying to trick the sisters into doing his bidding. Like, I swear they were the same person. And it really took a while to really get over the fact that they were different. But there you have it. So something that wasn't mentioned in the synopsis is that as Leo was asking about, hey, can I take Wyatt up with me? And she's like, yeah, go ahead. The sword had already began its...
Yes.
You know, spell over her. She was already starting to get pulled in and sucked in from the sword. So that's something I think that should be noticed during this particular scene.
And Leo should have noticed as well, because the last time that she acted like this was when she was one of the Stillman sisters. Yeah, Leo, just stay quiet for a little while.
So one thing that I have about this that I wanted to ask you is, given that during our Prue years, now this isn't a what would Prue do moment, but it is something that kind of crossed my mind. From a writer's perspective and how much Shannon Doherty had so much influence, she got to do a lot of the fun stuff. And I think a big part of that was because she was the oldest sister. But I wonder if she was still around, would the writers or the script allow Piper to be the holder of the sword? Or would this have just by default gone to Prue?
You've read my mind, Rob. You've read my mind. This speaks to Prue. This is a Prue plot. I guess if they had it that Wyatt was still Wyatt in this, like, charmed with Shannon Doherty still. I guess, but this is such a Prue plot that maybe Piper, but I don't know. Yeah, it's Prue. What do you think, Rob? It's just Prue.
I mean, I honestly, I have a feeling, unless, you know, like, Piper and Phoebe only get to turn into different things or be involved when they've been cursed or something happened
right,
to them.
Right.
Prue turns into stuff when it's for the greater good. She enhances her powers. She gets three. She needs to find a banshee. She turns into a dog. Like, it's always when the greater good needs to happen. So I have a feeling it would have been written for her to be able to wield the sword because she's the oldest, she's the strongest. And, you know, I say this with a tone because, you know, this is why Prue is the ultimate witch. She was written into that. Naturally, I do believe that she is a wonderful, powerful witch. I so get that. But this was also written for her because she's the oldest. I think that Piper and Phoebe could have easily taken on this role if, you know, the fans would allow it. But, I mean, if Prue was still here, she would still get to do all of this high and mighty chosen stuff.
You said it. You said it. You spoke all the words that need to be spoken, and that's why Prue is the best.
Yes, and you know, I don't want to be a hater. I really don't, but it just always seemed that way. And again, I'm always a Team Piper person, so it's just like, why couldn't she get to do all this cool stuff?
Of course.
Yeah.
In the Demon's Lair, they discuss their actions. An executioner demon brings in a sack, which is revealed to contain a dwarf. They question him about the sword and what he knows. The dwarf informs them that Piper Hollowell, he threw in the last name as well, has the sword. Look her up.
I said that too. I was like, damn, I mean, give it all away, you snitch.
Here's her address. This is what she likes to eat. Informs that Piper has the sword now and is being trained to use it. The demon demands to know who is training her. The dwarf mentions he doesn't know. However, he then punches the executioner demon in his testicles and lets, I got to say that word, and lets go of him to grab his balls. The dwarf then escapes zipping out.
So honestly, I forgot if they had killed the dwarf in this scene. I'm trying to remember if Danny Woodburn shows up later in the series, but I honestly was like, does he die in this? And I was like, thank God they kept him alive.
Mm-mm. Okay, or do they just rely on leprechauns in the future? I don't remember.
Because well, he's not a leprechaun.
But do you remember when they needed mythical creatures? At some point, yeah. They seemed to switch just to leprechauns.
Yes, no, I totally get that.
So Phoebe, Paige, and Richard make the vanquishing potion at Richard's place. Phoebe and Paige argue over Richard. Phoebe is worried that Paige is going into this relationship without seeing Richard and his dark side. Paige will not listen. Rob, could she be any more awkward again? You all know how to tone it down. I'm sorry. There's people who could, you read it on their face kind
Phoebe
of thing.
Phoebe is just one of those people who, like, I've seen her be very blunt and honest with folks to their faces. There's no excuse here for her being so, and first of all, you are in somebody else's house.
Yes.
You can pull that shit at the Hollowell Manor, but do not come in my house questioning why I have like a secret room with ingredients in my, like, fuck you, leave. Like, I'd have been so pissed. This was not a cute moment.
And clearly, Rob, it was not used in many years. It was like a rundown, like you said, his family's medicine cabinet or whatever the case would
but
be.
But does she have a point?
We'll see, Charmies. Who knows? Currently, I don't see too much of an issue currently.
Why didn't Phoebe just read him?
She couldn't read Mordock.
Mordock now?
I don't even know what his name is. She couldn't read him.
But he's an upper level. She was able to read the other family across, you know, and find out that they weren't murderers. She should have been able to read Richard. It's a little weird that she didn't do
and
that.
You're right, because that would make the most sense to avoid this. And just look at his face. Clearly, he's sexually attracted to Paige and he wants her. Like,
yeah.
That could be written on his face.
So this is very, very shallow of me, but the executioner red hooded guy, he just sounded and looked hot. I don't know.
Yeah.
I liked the beard. I liked his voice. He had arms. He was giving me like
voice and arms. Ooh.
I liked what I saw, but unfortunately there was no tag, so he will not be a contestant later on.
He's just that red hooded demon.
Yeah. So Mordomant and Piper continue to train, and Piper begins to take on the power of the sword. Mordomant states that they are becoming one, and soon nothing will matter to Piper except for the desire to rule. The Dark Knight and three demons shimmer into the manor. Mordomant seems to expect them, and Piper fights the Dark Knight while Mordomant takes on the three underlings.
I keep thinking of Batman.
So at Richard's place, Phoebe and Paige are continuing with the potion. Phoebe is about to add Black Poppy when Richard yells no, and through telekinesis pulls Phoebe away. That was harsh. That looked like it hurt.
And she kind of had that look like, what?
So Phoebe has been mistrustful of Richard, but he then tosses the Black Poppy in, causing an explosion. Richard says that you don't ever mix Wraith's essence and Black Poppy. So he, Phoebe, and Paige realize that Mortimer wants them dead. Bum, bum, bum. We find out that Mortimer is evil, right? Now, or at least has some kind of selfish plan. Do you happen to remember him being evil?
Yes. After I realized they weren't the same Pete person from earlier, The Dark Knight, and Mortimer's. God.
Mordaunt.
Mordaunt. Don't you want to hear this voice every week, everybody?
Yeah, I completely forgot that he was evil. I mean, I wasn't like shocked, surprised. Like, I mean, I think it did click that he had his own sort of motivation agenda. For this. Agenda, yeah, that's a better word. Yeah, it wasn't clear to me in the beginning. This episode, I didn't remember that well.
And do you notice, is it just me, Rob, or anytime we have a witch on Charmed, that's like a B-plot witch, a extra, and this includes in the future seasons, I don't want to give a name out yet. Every witch has telekinesis, and I feel like it takes away from the Charmed powers of Prue having that. There's a few, I can't remember off the top of my head, but I want to, now including Richard, it's just like the most, like Prue's power was like everything because she was, you know, like how she used it. And when they give it to these random witches, and I think maybe even this season it might happen again, I just don't like it. I don't know.
That's very interesting. I've never thought of that. And yeah, you would think these three powers are very unique to the sisters that mostly others or I guess it shouldn't be given out as much to all these other demons, as you say. I'll have to think about that. I would assume that when you think about magic, you think about moving stuff with your mind.
Yeah.
That to me just seems like a very general thing. Maybe the power of it all, the way that it evolves, is very unique to Prue. I mean, I don't think Richard can blow up an attic with the wave of his hand. So we'll
with
say
some Black Poppy he could.
But we'll say that that's something unique that is just for Prue, is that her telekinesis just becomes bigger.
All right, I feel better. Thank you for that, actually. So more demons attack, but Piper and Mr. Mordaunt kill the last of them. Paige and Phoebe orb in and try to warn Piper. However, Piper is one with the sword and has allowed the sword's power to take over. Paige tries to orb Excalibur. However, the sword deflects her orb and Piper and Mordaunt fade away to the round table. With the pentagram, Mortimer promises Piper great power and kisses her. Ooh. He reaches for Excalibur, but invades his grasp. Piper and Mortimer, wow, the paragraph with the most Mortimer,
we're catching
have
up.
Gathered several demons to the round table. They offer a loyalty oath, and the demons all explode. Their powers transfer to Mortimer. Mortimer claims Excalibur from Piper. He tells Piper that Wyatt was the true owner of Excalibur and impales Piper with the sword.
Yeah, I'm surprised she didn't die instantly with this, but there is a lot to unpack with this scene. First of all, when they were fighting in the attic, god damn, that attic is fucking huge. Do you,
it's bigger and bigger. I don't know.
See how much space they had? Oh yeah. My god, that attic is so big. It is so big.
I guess it makes sense because the house is big, but yeah, it looks like it gets bigger and bigger every scene. I don't know.
But I love the scene when they're in the streets and, you know, she blocks Paige's call, and then like she does this thing with, so I don't know, there was just something really cool about that, and then Piper goes, don't do that again.
Yes. Oh,
God, that was so good. That was so good. I love that. I love that so much. Then there's this weird, awkward attraction of Piper and Mortimer kissing. And I, because at first I was like, he's all caressing her arms from the back. Like, I don't know. He just seemed like this savior. Like, I'm going to make you see, like, you with me, we can take, like, it was just a weird thing for them to, like, kind of hook up the way they did. I was like, Morty, back up. Just back. Why are you touching me? Go away. Like, it was just weird.
Piper's used to this. As we always say, every man wants Piper.
Also, this, you know, I don't know what's up with the synopsis. I'm not going to call racism, but they completely removed this whole interaction with this Soul Blaster demon who was in the street and who was recruited first. And so while they were talking, you know, he had to convince them, or she had to convince him to join, you know, the army.
Yes.
And this blaster demon, so he is Lamont Johnson, that's the actor's name, and he has stood out to me in so many different ways. One of them was that he played this very feminine hairdresser in the TV show Girlfriends with Tracee Ellis Ross. The show is a UPN exclusive. It was so good. I liked it. And he was really, really funny in it. But I remember him mostly from my childhood as the bully slash henchman to a drug dealer in this comedy called Class Act with Kid and Play. Yes. Do you remember this movie,
yes,
Ryan?
Yes, yes.
Oh my God. Definitely. Yeah. I cannot wait to review this movie. Kid and Play was so good, and so was Class Act.
Thank you for adding this. Well, I love hearing this because I didn't even register in my head. Yes.
So before RuPaul said it, I heard reading is fundamental from this gentleman. As far as from where I grew up, I did not hear RuPaul say it first, but he was so funny in this movie too. I love that movie. It's so good. This is the biggest thing that I didn't understand, and I'm sure fans who know better will help me out with this explanation, but Leo talks about why Piper is the person who was able to take the sword out of the stone. She is the new Lady of the Lake. She is to hand, she is to hold Excalibur and hand it off to the actual holder of the sword, who is known, his words, Leo's words, the sword belongs to the ultimate power. Without saying much, we know what the ultimate power is. And it's not like they weren't born at this time. So help me out here. How is Wyatt the ultimate power?
Good. Wow. 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 Wow.
I mean, okay. I pressed pause and I looked up as much as I could find on this. And it would be different if the actual ultimate power was not born yet, but they clearly were. So I don't understand why Wyatt is the old. It was just weird. So what do you think?
Rob, another great point that you came up with. Wow. The only thing that could be kind of going on here is the Lady of the Lake literally like handed it to Piper, because Wyatt would be what he was. At that time, he might have been the most powerful being because he would be advanced in his craft.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, it's something that will be revisited. Hopefully, I can remember to backtrack to this episode.
Oh, yeah. This is a really good idea.
Because I was very, very confused. So we'll move on. Oh, the other thing. Yes. The two sisters die. Piper, I mean, Phoebe and Paige freaking die and they get turned to souls. I like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Like, that was brought up, but, you know, off camera, they got healed. And then Leo also heals Piper. And Mortimont shimmers into the manor and tries to stab Wyatt with Excalibur. I cannot believe this man.
Can you
really
imagine?
Just took a sword to a baby. I'm like,
yeah,
wow.
That was something.
Yeah, but it's only a teddy bear. Paige, God, I love it. You remember she was supposed to go and she stayed behind because she knew what was about to go down. I freaking love her as always. She is so smart. Paige orbs back in with Wyatt and Leo with Piper and Phoebe. Wyatt orbs Excalibur to himself and then he hurls it back into Mortimont, vanquishing him. Wow. This goes back to Wyatt knows some grown folk talk. He knew exactly what to do and how easy it was for him to just take a sword to somebody's stomach. Like,
so true.
Wyatt, why is it so easy for you to kill, buddy? What's going on here?
That's another thing, Charmies.
Piper puts Excalibur back into the stone and Paige orbs it into the attic until Wyatt is old enough to use it. Leo also fixes all the things wrong in the house for Piper, leaving her more time to spend with Wyatt. So the only thing that I had on here, which is something that isn't discussed, is the fact that Phoebe decides to fire Paige just as Paige decides to quit her job.
I quit. Yes.
So it just kind of gave me a little bit of memory when Prue and Phoebe worked together at Buckland's. And I just thought that was a super cute moment for them to work together, because Paige actually did put in a lot of work there, organized everything, all of those interns do stuff. I just thought that was cool.
What a great callback. Yes. Another great point, Rob.
Yeah.
A parallel.
So this concludes Episode 8, Sword and the City. So, Ryan, anything new or different about your rewatch with this one, or was it same old for you?
I don't know what it is about rewatching this season, but I'm really enjoying it a lot. More than I did in previous years.
Yeah.
On the 100th rewatch, you know, like, it's finally like, yeah. Maybe it's just because the sisters are just so fun and... But yeah, I enjoyed it. What about you?
I think it's the HD.
Oh, yes. It's like a whole new show. Yeah.
For me, I mean, I barely have any memory of this. I thought the episode was okay. The Sword in the Stone storyline, it makes sense for it to come up around this time. I didn't mind it. I guess the special effects and the theatrics, a lot of the fighting scenes I thought were great. I think Piper is putting in a little bit more work into like being more physical. So I think that's cool. It was just an episode for me.
Yeah, like a Demon of the Week thing.
Yeah. So one other thing that I wanted to sort of talk about, and then I'll get into some of the notes that I liked about this episode, was that Mortimer mentions that Merlin is just a fairy tale. And then we have back in when the wizard was like, oh, he's an overrated hack.
Yes.
Do you think that Merlin exists in the Charmverse, or is he actually just a character in fairy tales? I mean, Cinderella, Snow White, all of them were, well, not technically real, but I guess, you know, they were created for the fairy tale. Do you think Merlin is out there somewhere, or do you think he's just a character?
I always think of that with the wizard. Yeah, so either one of them is lying, right? So because he's saying that he was an overrated hack, like, or in this one saying he was a fairy tale completely.
But then the wizard could also just be saying that the character itself is overrated.
Oh, that's true.
Treating him that he's real. I honestly took it as... oh, I met Merlin. He's overrated. But I think maybe the character might be. So I wonder if he actually does exist.
It would, like you said, it would make sense since every other fairy tale in this place did.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Hello, this is Ryan at the Radical Retro Rewind Podcast. If you like the 70s, 80s, 90s, and early 2000s, this podcast may be for you. Covering everything from video games, movies, TV shows, and cartoons, every week's a new adventure. I know that in every generation, a slayer is born, and that the power of three will set you free. Please find us where most podcasts are available, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Anchor FM.
All right, so some notes from this episode. The WB used the promo title, here it comes, Charmed in Camelot.
Okay, not sexual.
Yes.
Not sexual, but I have a feeling there might be one coming up soon.
But this one was, I think, straight to the point. It fit the episode well. It made sense.
But are you surprised the title? I mean, knowing how popular Sex and the City was, that they didn't use that, because we know in the future that they're okay with marketing it as a, you know,
what it is.
No spoilers.
Well, in Australia, this episode was actually called Queen Piper 1. I know. Like, literally the
Queen
number one.
Piper 1?
Yes, that's what it said. in Australia.
Australian Charmies. Well, what?
I will bring this up to Philip and we'll okay, get great. To the bottom of this. Yes. So this episode was reportedly, as Ryan said last week, Holly Marie Combs' favorite episode to film. What's written here is because of the sword fighting scenes. So she enjoyed doing a lot of that. Coincidentally, though, during the production of this episode, we find out that she also was pregnant with her first child with former grip David Donahoe. So Phoebe dies for the fourth time. Paige dies for the sixth time in this episode. So Paige actually has gone over Phoebe.
Wow, that's so crazy to think. Isn't
that crazy? In only 2 years. Oh no, this is her third, almost third, wow. 2.5 year. Yeah, crazy.
But they died every year, like once or twice at least.
And Wyatt again vanquishes his first demon or evil in this episode. The title of this episode is a combination of the 1963 animated film The Sword and the Stone and the show Sex and the City. The plot of this episode is inspired by the Arthurian legend. All right, it's that time of the episode. Let's judge some men. It's Hot Man Mita time. It's raining men. All right, let's go through our men. Most of these are on the evil side of things. We've got a lot of demons to talk about. We have Mark Aiken as the Dark Knight. This is the hooded gentleman with the beard and the gray and the I want to be, you know, evil or whatever. Does this gentleman make your top 10 list this week?
You mean MODOK's twin? The rougher MODOK.
Yeah.
Whatever his name is. No, he doesn't. But Rob, does he make your hot man meter?
Oh, no. Now, see, I didn't get to see the full face. He looked very similar to Mordon. I'm just not. He didn't stand out to me. No, he's not going on my list. No, thanks. How about our head executioner demon? Now, this was the guy who wanted a seat at the table. He was like, I'm not going to help you unless you give me a seat. And he, you know, yeah, that head guy. What about him?
Not a seat at my table. So many men. So many men on this list. I can't see him at the table.
All right. All right. So this gentleman was played by Brian Lechner. How about Mordaunt? Mordecai. Mordemont. Played by Edward Atterton. How about this strapping young man? Our pre-Harry, as you will. I actually found, like, the haircut, the suit kind of handsome. He was kind of cute, actually, I thought.
Oh, yes. And especially at the time, this is what God, I graduated the year after this. So this man, he was my type to a T, English accent, older. And because of that, that callback, MODOK.
I call him Morty.
Morty. Not Morty, but he's going on my list. I don't even know how to say his name, Charmies, but he's on the list.
Rob. Very cool. Very good. Yeah, I am actually going to pass just based on who I've got so far. I'm not going to put him on, but a handsome dude. Then there's our satyr. This is played by Bjorn Johnson. I don't know if you remember this guy. He was the one that kept saying, hey, don't cut. Wait your turn.
And I have to say something. Why wasn't he just taking the sword out while that whole conversation was going on?
I don't know what was going on. Yeah, it's weird.
But yeah, just for that alone, no. He's not making the man meter, Rob.
Okay. He's not making mine either. I'm going to pass. Then we have our ogre. This is Matthew McGorry. Yeah, who came back. He has shown up before. How about this tall, strapping man? You know it's big.
Oh my.
I mean, it has to be. It has to be.
But if it's anything like the breath, I don't want to have anything to do with it. I'm sorry. Too much man for me.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on him this season as well. Then we have our soul blaster demon. This is Lamont Johnson, who I mentioned earlier. What about this gentleman? Does this strapping young man make your top 10 list?
I like when you say strapping, it like, it sells it a little more for me. But no, I'm so full. And I know what's coming up, and I just can't. I'm sorry, strapping young lads
yeah.
out there.
I'm not going to put them on mine. Others that were not mentioned were a demon, a creeper. I think a Grimlock was once put in there again at the table. If you find any of these other demons, just picture them without makeup. I will say this. So Todd Tucker, he plays the creeper. I think he's the one that had a paw instead of a hand at the table.
Yeah.
Out of makeup, this man is cute.
Yes, he is. I know
he's
exactly who you're talking
cute.
About.
Yes, yes.
Didn't he play someone on the show with his face as well? I feel like
he may have. He may have. I would have to look that up again. But yes, he definitely did. So yeah, any one of those guys makes your list. Make sure to update that. We are also looking for you to pick one hottest female as well. We saw a Seer in this and another Banshee. If they all stand out to you, pick them. Put them on your hottest female. We also want most adorable from you. Make sure to update your list. By the time the season ends, you'll have a list already set. You can send it in to me, and then we will make one charming hot man meter of season 6. Now, Ryan, did you have an MVP this week?
I gotta say, Paige, I love what she did for Phoebe's office. And I love what I will call for the next segment. Her staying around with Wyatt at the end. I'm sorry, that, like you said, that was an amazing scene.
So that's your play of the week, maybe?
That's my play of the week, and that is my MVP, Paige, just because of that alone. Yes.
Okay. All right. Paige does get MVP this week, I think. She definitely stood out to me in this episode. I think also her standing by Richard was pretty cool. She's staying to her convictions. I think she did great. And any woman who fixes me eggs, oh, yes, please. Yes.
This man's a breakfast man, as I said earlier. Give him some breakfast items.
Play of the week goes to Piper, though, with her handling of the sword. I just think that most of her scenes where she wielded that power, had it, you know, she used the force on it and all that jazz. I loved all of that with that. So play of the week goes to Piper for that in the sword scene.
Makes sense.
Well, that is going to conclude our episode. Thank you, everyone, for listening once again this week. Next week on Charmed, Little Monsters. I have no... I think I know what this one is. Is this the baby?
It's the baby. And do you know the WB title, Rob?
Oh, I don't know.
Hot Mamas. Hot Mamas. Here we go. This is what I was saying about... They're coming back.
Hot mamas. I really like this episode. I remember liking the storyline so much. Oh my god, the demon dad. Oh, I thought he was, if I remember correctly, he's a cutie. We'll find out next week, guys. I remember this. Oh,
that's
the
just
cute
excitement.
Baby. This is Wyatt's first friend. Oh god, I love it. Okay. We are coming back next week with episode 9, Little Monsters. Thank you all for listening to this episode. Enjoy your Sunday brunch and your whichever day you're listening to this. Thank you for returning back. Goodbye, Charmy.
Bye.
On the WB's Big Sunday, a lost baby.
Cute. So adorable.
Meets three hot mamas. But this kid...
He's an unstoppable killing machine.
He's no bundle of joy.
Bad demon. Very bad demon.
All new Charmed Hot Mamas.